All right, so we are in Proverbs, the second chapter. Last week, we had the first wisdom poem, right? And Solomon was not really at that point comparing wisdom to folly, although it might have been implied because the simple ones turn away from wisdom, all this kind of stuff. And so if they're not going for wisdom, they're going somewhere else. But folly hasn't necessarily been named yet. And I think what, as you look at this, what you see Solomon doing is he's kind of building up the words of wisdom. And so he's giving a good theological understanding of everything that's happening behind wisdom and underneath her, and how we should utilize wisdom's teaching. Okay, so we'll start here in chapter 2. Son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and incline, and you raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and finds, okay. In Hebrew, if you've got something important to say, if you're telling a story, you'll sometimes repeat the exact same thing and maybe just in a little bit of a different way, okay? It's kind of funny. I mean, every language has this thing. In Greek, if you want, you actually put a double negative in, which in Greek doesn't cancel it out, it magnifies it. So really don't do something is kind of how it goes. Whereas in English, we're precise. We prefer to be pithy. When it comes to all of this stuff, the shorter that we can say it, and especially in our culture today, the shorter we can say things, the better we want to say get shorter, we really end up starting to say nothing at all. In Hebrew, it's very, very different. So, actually, the first essentially saying the same thing. So, if you look at those first four verses, what is the call? What is Solomon saying to his son?
What is wisdom and understanding?
Okay.
And searching for it,
right? So it's kind of that idea. You've got to continue to find it. Because wisdom is not, in your lap. Although, if you read verse 1, it kind of drops in his lap, right? But after that, it's like wisdom becomes elusive, right? So if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart. Call out for insight and raise your voice. Seek it like silver, and search for it as hidden treasures. So you see what he's kind of doing. He's pushing it. The wisdom is almost like a wave, if you will, where it comes and goes and comes and goes and comes and goes. And you're like the baby who's always wanting to play right in the water. It's there. It's available, but it's not something that you just get to sit back and go, bring it to me, right? You receive, you treasure, you are attentive, you incline your heart, you call out for insight as hidden treasures. And so all of this is kind of the idea. This is what you want from wisdom. And to be successful in all these endeavors, it's in the searching, in the seeking, in the attentiveness, you will find and understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will find the knowledge of God, right? And so the idea is, The fear of God, the knowledge of God, comes to us as we seek Him, comes as we seek wisdom, not after we've received it. How could this be? And there's only one writing along the path.
It's the journey, not the end. I'm just paraphrasing.
Right, okay.
But I don't know why.
Well, and that's, that journey, not the destination. And that's kind of very much of a Buddhist influence
Oh, really?
On our understanding. The journey You're reincarnated on whatever it is that you want. You're probably not. Anybody ever read Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse? It's a very classic book that a lot of English classes have to read, like in high school and stuff. But it tells the story through his life and makes all of the mistakes. And ultimately, at the end, realizing that the journey has been important, not where he's trying to reach, he becomes as. And so it's a classic book. It's very interesting, very literarily, not necessarily theologically, life application stuff. But I mean, Paul says, you know, we run the race, mm-hmm. right? We're just running until we hit that point.
Forget those things that are behind. Press forward towards the mark.
Right. So we've got kind of that destination in our eyesight. Wonderful gift of wisdom before we hit the destination.
The Holy Spirit reveals things as we seek the Lord.
Okay. You're not wrong, but you're looking at the results rather than the cause.
God's will, and you're doing God's will along the way.
You're looking at results rather than cause.
You're wavelength.
Well, the only way that this is at all possible is if God works first, bringing it to you. And ultimately, what is the first work of God? And the answer is not creation. First work of God is portraying Christ as crucified before the foundation of the world, right?
Okay, yeah.
Right? So the first work of God has always been the intention of Christ. How is it that we are even able... I mean, this is the whole thing. How is it that the sinner is able to breathe in this world, take a breath? How is it that the sinner is able to receive food and water and shelter?
God's grace.
Yeah, and where does that grace come from? Is it just a general feeling of love that God has toward creation? No. Because God does what with sinners? I mean, how is God to sinners?
He's supposed to kill them, get rid
right.
of them, whatever.
Destroy them, right? Because a sinner who sins can't stand in his presence. But does God ever do that? Or at least, does God do that first?
No.
No. So why is it that God
loves us? We're all part of... No. Wrong way.
I mean, it's true, but it's not the right answer. The answer is because Christ will be crucified. Because of Christ. And everything before Christ, it was looking toward that day. He was seeing already that he would give grace and mercy to people and all things on behalf of Christ. Right? And all of it is supposed to do what? To turn our hearts and our minds to Jesus. But beginning... So if you're seeking the good things, right, and wisdom, we've said before, is the personification of Christ. If you're seeking this thing of God, if you're seeking wisdom, if you're seeking who God is and what he's revealed and all, and why? Because all of it is bringing you to Christ and him crucified. Yet grace on the journey. The only reason that through your seeking and your searching and your cries that lies beyond is because of the grace of Christ. God comes to you.
Isn't that the same as what I was saying about the Holy Spirit revealing? Or?
Well, that's the result. And the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in some ways separate, right?
Right.
The Spirit only comes to us because Christ died, was resurrected, and then left us.
Yes.
Right? And he says, it's good that I leave you because when I leave, and he reveals those things to us, absolutely. But that only happens because Christ first died. Yeah.
And was resurrected.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep. So, I mean, again, it's not the result. And that's kind of what we end up having to do in the church is we look and we say, what is the first cause? And how does that come about? It is only through Christ's death, right? Because remember, that's always been God's plan. He didn't create the world thinking, oh, this is going to be a perfect Edenic paradise, knowing that it was going to fall into sin very, very shortly. So the idea has always been that instead of Adam and Eve depending on their own righteousness, for they and all people would depend upon Christ's righteousness for their perfection. Because the reality is no matter what, humanity going to fall into sin through Adam and Eve. And Christ, I mean, you can't look into the sin, though he shares our human nature because he is the Christ, he remained faithful and perfect and obedient to all things. And you can't explain it. It wasn't just because of his divinity that Christ remained perfect, but it was because his humanity also remained perfect. And I have it in my office. You may borrow it. It is the best treatment on saying, it's called The Two Natures of Christ, written by a guy named Martin Chemnitz. And we'll get to him probably sometime in November in our Reformation studies. He is the Martin of the later 16th century, of whom it is said if the second stood. And he wrote perhaps the most brilliant treatise on this idea, the divinity and humanity of Christ. I've never read anything better about such a topic. So, but it's a lot funnier. So, all right. So do you see how this kind of works? If you do this, then you will do this. If you seek, you'll have it. And it's not as if you complete your journey, you'll have it. It's in your seeking. If you hold it, if you're searching, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Okay. All right. Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. So, all right, so for the Lord gives wisdom. This is, again, one of these pictures of God and the begetting realms. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Right? Do, 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 do. Making all kinds of noises today, Robert.
I do is during church I silence it and lay it there so I'll feel the vibrate, and then I turn it back on in case that's work. That's not work.
That's okay. All right. So remember in the Psalms it says, "The Lord said to my Lord," right? And later on, it's Peter, right, or is it Paul, who says, "How do you understand these things? How can the Lord say to?" And he's saying, you know, this
is Psalm 110, I believe it is.
Is it Psalm 110? Yeah. So
the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a foot in the midst of your enemies.
So, yeah, and Peter says, you know, so David writes this down. Who is David? If David is not the Lord, who is the other Lord? Jesus. Is kind of what it is. So, and that's what he's pointing out, is that ultimately this is a prophecy of Jesus. So if we see that the Lord gives wisdom, and wisdom we understand already as Christians is the personification of Christ, of the coming Christ, for Yahweh, because remember, anytime you see L-O-R-D capitalized like that, or God all capitalized in the Old Testament, it's the divine name of God, Yahweh, otherwise known as the Tetragrammaton, the four letters is all that. For Yahweh gives wisdom. Well, Yahweh gives the personification of the coming Christ. I mean, it's this kind of idea. Now, in reality, I don't know that Solomon specifically had that in mind, but as Christians, we can go back and see, look, there's a fulfillment. So the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So knowledge and understanding are part of wisdom, right? This kind of idea, it's paired to these things. Notice, again, kind of it's going back and forth. Gives wisdom, from his mouth come. Stores up sound, a shield to those who walk. Guarding the path. Poetically mirroring these things, repeating them so you understand it. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge and understanding. Now, we often say, well, wisdom is knowing that. If you think of the things of God, now certainly, according to the law, he tells us we obey and we do things. What does he tell us according to the God? Be baptized or repent and?
Be saved.
Believe.
Believe.
Right? And so it's this kind of idea. What? When you're seeking after the Lord and he's giving you wisdom, what do you know it is? It's the object of theology. And so the law definitely tells us, do this and you'll live. And we realize we can't do that. So what do we have to do? We repent and we believe. And that's a theme we find in the Old Testament too. We find the saints being saved, though they be great sinners. You know, Noah, even though he's a drunk. His sons, even though they see him naked. Moses, even though he's a murderer. Right? Jacob, the thief, right? Stealing the birthright from his brother. David, the murderer and an adulterer. And so we see, even though these men have these huge character flaws, not obeying the law, yet they've been counted as saints in God. And God himself tells us that they are part of that company. And so it must not just be obedience that saves. It must be something else. It must then also be the fear of God, wisdom itself, knowledge and understanding. And how do you end up with that knowledge? This is where Robert's answer from earlier comes in. The Holy Spirit gives it to you, right? I mean, isn't that what faith is? Faith and the desire to hold fast to it. Faith and trust and belief are all essentially the same movement. They're the word pistis. And so you kind of end up in this idea that faith and trust and belief, where does that have to come from? It always has to come from the Spirit. You know the knowledge of God yourself. You have to be led there by the Spirit. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield. Anybody who stores something up is planning for the future, right? A shield to those who walk in integrity. The shield is the thing that protects you from the onslaught of the arrows, right? Or the sword of the enemy, all right? Guarding the paths of justice, making these things, you remember on the roads, in these days, you always wanted a nice open road. You never wanted a road through the hills or the mountains, because the hills and the mountains are full of little craggy places that the thieves and the robbers can come out and steal from you. This is the Romans, actually, for all the evils throughout their entire empire. There were still little places, paths, that were unsafe. But the roads, they made safe because they always had to go along. And if you ever were to assault a Roman officer as they were making their way down the road, you would be put to death. That's why everybody freaked out when they found out that Paul was a Roman citizen. Because if they're beating him and mistreating him and he's a Roman citizen, they could get into major trouble because he has the right to appeal to Caesar. So that's a big problem for them. So this idea that God is now watching path than the path that you walk in justice, this is where the obedience comes in. And this is the way it is for us too. we should want to obey the law. Want to obey the law because the gospel comes and says, you are forgiven. And now we say, what should I do in response to that? And the law says, do me, right? Follow me. This is what's righteous. And ultimately, that's what justice is. What does it say God loves? Right? Do humbly, walk justly, right? Do humbly. I'll get there. If anyone knows it, help me out. Walk. It doesn't matter. God here guards the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints. Because his saints do what? They're not his saints because they're perfect. They're his saints because they're walking in his ways. Ways revealed by the Holy Spirit, right? All right, any questions through 8? All right, let's stop there for today. All right. No, not next week. 2 weeks. Yeah.
Will you be here this week? I know you got the pastor's conference, but you'll be here for the service.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the pastor's conference, I'm really alone going down for Tuesday this week. So.
Didn't know all the details. I knew leadership that you won't be around, and you know, didn't know if that was a week long conference or what it was.
Right. Yeah, that's just this week. So
okay.
Yeah. So we will continue then on our observe at verse 9 that week.
Okay,
any questions? All right. Let's pray. Holy and most gracious Father, we give you thanks through your Son Jesus Christ, that you have brought us to this, another day in which we may learn your word and receive your sacraments. We ask you, O Lord, that as we journey through this life, you keep our eyes focused upon the cross, the object of our faith, specifically the cross of Christ, as he's won for us the forgiveness of all sins. We ask, O Lord, that you lead us in the ways of wisdom, that we might see him and be found faithful upon the last day, having accomplished all that you would have us do in this life, so that we may look forward to the next. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.